Let's read together Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In this first section of the chapter, we have the account of the spies sent out to Jericho and the protection of the spies by Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from the acacia grove or Shittim to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Let's begin this first section of Joshua chapter 2 with some background notes. As we read this account of the spying out of Jericho, I'm sure two big questions came to your mind. Number one, what are these spies from the children of Israel, God's people, doing in the house of a prostitute anyway? And number two, what about Rahab's lie? Rahab lied to protect these spies, and there's no doubt that she lied. Does the Bible teach or condone lying in some cases? What's going on here anyway? Well, let's see if we can answer these two questions as part of our background notes. Number one, why did these spies go to the house of Rahab the prostitute? Well, what better way to conceal your mission? I mean, who would suspect these two men in a place where other men were coming and going? Furthermore, what better place to pick up information about the city and not be questioned in return? These two spies did not go to Rahab's house for sex. They went for select information about the strengths and weaknesses of Jericho. In addition, we know from verse 15 that Rahab's house was on the city wall, so it made an ideal location for escape. And finally, let's not forget about the sovereignty of God here. God knew the heart of Rahab and the faith that she would show in the true God. And so he ordained that these two spies would stay with Rahab. Now, what about the number two question? What about Rahab's lie? First of all, we should always distinguish in the Bible between what did happen and what should happen. It's a principle of biblical interpretation. There's no doubt that Rahab did lie, but this does not mean that the Bible is teaching that she should lie or that it's okay to lie, even if you think greater good can come from your lie. Rahab is never commended for her lie, here or in the New Testament. In Hebrews 11:31, and James 2:25, where Rahab is mentioned in the New Testament, she is commended for her faith in God and her good works of faith in hiding the spies, but not for her lie. God certainly had other ways of protecting the spies. His hands were not tied until Rahab lied. So I don't think the Bible is teaching here that it's okay to lie, even for a good cause or in the time of war. So Dr. Dave does not believe in situation ethics or wartime ethics, but rather in a non-conflicting moral absolutes system of ethics. Did you hear that? One more time. I don't believe in situation ethics. That's where you always do the loving thing. Well, who's to determine in many cases what the loving thing is? And I don't believe in wartime ethics. That's where you say, well, normally it's not right to lie, but in time of war, you could do it. All right? So what I'm saying is, I believe the Bible teaches a non-conflicting moral absolutes system of ethics. Now, what is that? Well, in other words, you will never be in a situation, God will never put you in a situation where you must commit adultery in order not to murder, or vice versa. You must murder in order not to commit adultery. Or you must lie in order not to steal, or vice versa. You must steal in order not to lie. No, the moral absolutes do not conflict. It's a non-conflicting moral absolutes system of ethics. There is always the right thing to do, and it's never the lesser of two evils. The Lord Jesus always did the right thing, and it was never the lesser of two evils. He lived in this real world, and we are to follow his example. Now, doing the right thing is not always easy, and it may even cost us our lives or possibly result in hurt to other people, but we must leave that in the hands of God. Well, you ask, what would our Lord have answered if he was living in Germany during World War II and hiding Jews, and asked by the Gestapo if he was hiding Jews? Would he have lied to protect the Jews, or would he have betrayed the Jews? Now, some of you are thinking here probably that he would have zapped the SS troopers, right? No, I think he would have done like he so often did. He would have chosen some third alternative, such as, by whose authority do you ask me that question? Or maybe he would have just been silent. Now, it's true, he may have been shot or imprisoned and the Jews discovered, but he would not have lied or betrayed the Jews. He would have done the right thing. And there's so much more we could say here. In fact, I've written a paper entitled Exercise in Ethics. It's a copy of Devotions for Growing Christians. I don't have it with me, but if you would like to read it, go to the website, www.growingchristians.org. Click on Devotions for Growing Christians and look up the issue in the scriptural index on Joshua 2, Exercise in Ethics. More we could say, we need to move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first section of Joshua chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one, believers should be aware of satanic strongholds. Believers should be aware of satanic strongholds. Jericho was a stronghold of the enemy. It blocked the entrance into the central part of the land that God had given his people. Now remember, the land is a spiritual picture of the spiritual land that God has given us. As God wanted his people in the Old Testament to enjoy the promised land, so God wants us today to enjoy the spiritual blessings that he has given us in Christ. But Satan wants to keep us from enjoying the blessings of the land. In the spiritual picture that God has given us here, we believe that the king of Jericho is a picture of Satan. So now we see that the book of Joshua is a handbook for spiritual warfare. As the children of Israel were to search out Jericho and check out its strengths and weaknesses, so we believers should be aware of satanic strongholds. Example, in this Western world, materialism is a satanic stronghold. It's a Jericho. We are surrounded and bombarded with materialism every day because most of the media is controlled by Satan. Even many Christians are caught up in materialism, and as a result, we are not enjoying the spiritual blessings that God has given us in Christ. Materialism is a Jericho. It's a satanic stronghold that blocks the entrance into the land of spiritual blessings in Christ. I wonder how many spiritual blessings we're not enjoying because of materialism. You ever think about this? Are you aware of this, fellow believer? That's the point here. Believers should be aware of satanic strongholds. We need to search out this Jericho of materialism and other strongholds as well. We need to search these things out in the light of God's word and see how materialism, for example, is controlling our lives and see what needs to be done to eliminate it from the spiritual land that God has given us. And it can be done. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Believers should be aware of satanic strongholds. Doctrinal point number 2. Believers should be aware of satanic strategy. Believers should be aware of satanic strategy. The king of Jericho not only had his stronghold to block the entrance into the land, he also had his strategy. We see from the rest of the chapter that the enemy knew what God had done for his people in bringing them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and through the wilderness and fought for them on the other side of Jordan, eliminating the Amorite problem, the Amorite king, Sihon and Og. And we see here in the first part of the chapter that the king of Jericho's strategy was to get rid of the two spies. He knew about the spies and was out to get them, but God protected them. Do you see the spiritual picture? Satan is not ignorant. He knows the works of God, which God has done on behalf of his people. He knows about us, and his strategy is to keep us out of the land and to keep us from knowing about his strongholds. But God protects us and enables us to be aware of his strategy. Now, we should not be so concerned about Satan, as some Christians are, that we lose our focus on Christ. No, our focus should be always the positive, on the Lord. But believers should be aware of satanic strategy. What about practical application from this first section of Joshua 2? Remember, God has his Rahabs out there to protect us. Who would have ever thought that God would use Rahab, the prostitute, to protect the two spies? Do you see the application? We don't have to fear Satan. God can protect us even through the use of unbelievers. Illustration. Maybe some of you read about the recent good news for the Christian students on the campus of Dartmouth College. That's an Ivy League school in the Northeast. The students in the Campus Crusade for Christ were stopped from passing out free copies of C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. Well, guess who came to the rescue? God used the non-Christian administration to okay the project in the name of intellectual freedom. How about that? How about that for a turning of the tables? Praise the Lord. Just as God protected the spies there in Jericho, and just as he protected these Christian students on the campus of Dartmouth College, so God can take care of you as you serve him. You don't have to run scared. You don't have to fear Satan. Remember, God has his Rahabs out there to protect you.